Hey guys, Tim here. Wanted to jump in and give you an opportunity. You can support our show. I don't know if you know this, but the number one way podcasts spread and grow is through referrals. It's through people telling their friends, hey, I found this podcast and I love it and I think you'll love it too. And so if you've been listening to this show for a while and you love it, share it with your friends. Tell everybody you know about it. I'm sure a lot of you are already doing that, but maybe you're not. Send a link. Send us something out to one of your friends. All the apps make that super easy. Just share it. And if this is your first time listening to this show, do that too. Just give it a shot. Send it to some people. Act like you love it and then listen to it. And then maybe you'll regret it. Maybe you won't. Who knows? Maybe it pays off for you. But yeah, just go ahead real quick before this episode starts. Hit share. Tell your friends about it. And then that will go a long way to help this show grow and continue to be here for the next 70 years. We're not going to live that long. All right, all right. Put the clown down.
Hey, hey man.
What's up?
Leave that in. Leave the put the clown down in.
All right.
Okay. Hey, man. Have you ever heard of... Happy New Year! Okay.
Is that when this episode comes out?
January 3rd.
Close. Great.
Yeah. Oh, no, January 2nd. Oh, man.
That means it's getting closer to my show in Berlin, Maryland in February or in...
Hold on.
I don't know how to say this place in Idaho.
I got you. Let me do it.
I'm going to show you the place.
Your
show.
No, I'm looking up your schedule. You don't need to tell me. What's the date?
April 13th.
April 13th. Holy cow, that's way out there.
Not from right now. It's getting closer.
Cordae Allen.
I don't know how to say that. Cordae Allen.
It's probably Chordalane.
Chordalane. You think it's Chordalane?
Yeah, that O-E-U-R. Chordalane. C-O-E-U-R-E. Or no, it's not an E. C-O-E-U-R. That's Chord.
I think it's
Chordalane.
Idaho.
I think
April 13th.
Yeah. At Merlin's.
Cordellini?
Yeah. Anyways, hey man, have you ever heard of Marvin Heemeyer?
Marvin Heemeyer?
Yeah.
I don't know if we're saying that one right either, but that's positive. All right. We'll run it.
It's Marvin C-O-E-U-R-M-E-Y-E-R.
Okay.
Marvin Heemeyer, you might know him by his more infamous title.
Okay.
Killdozer. This is not like a typical like front loader. This is a Beef Boy bulldozer.
A Beef Boy.
This is a Beef Boy bulldozer. So they were like reinforced. So that way they could run trees over.
Oh, jeez.
Not like big trees, but like trees.
I understand. There's a reinforced concrete bulldozer hitting your building. I don't know how that could be more clear.
Things I learned last night.
Well, I'm sorry.
Have you ever heard of him?
Is this about murder?
No.
Okay, Killdozer?
Yeah, technically no.
What is he? Technically no? Killdozer sounds like a monster truck.
It's more about attempted murder.
Okay.
Less actual, more attempt.
All right. So we're not like a true crime podcast. We're a true almost crime podcast.
We're dabbling, yeah.
We're dipping our toes in true crime the way he dipped his toes in murder. Didn't fully commit.
Didn't make it.
Okay.
But it tried.
All right. Know? So this is an attempted murder story.
Yes. Well,
who's the killdozer?
Allegedly. We don't know for sure if it's
Did he
attempted.
Try to kill somebody with a bulldozer?
We don't know. It's allegedly he didn't though. But it depends who you ask if he tried or not. We don't know for sure.
Okay.
Let's just
With a bulldozer?
Yeah, let's just tell the story. Oh wait, but before we do, I got these energy drinks today from a guy.
There's no way I'm putting that in my body now.
He told me.
From a guy?
He said, what do you do, man? I told him what I do. And he's like, that's cool. And I was like, what do you do, man? And he's like, I'm just trying not to work too much. And I was like, oh yeah? And I was like, and
Can you set the scene of where you met this guy? Is this on the streetcar?
I can't.
It's like, here's on the streetcar.
I can't say that.
This guy goes, Hey, man.
No, this was at a Tropical Smoothie Cafe. I was eating lunch. This is not better. He came up to me.
Tropical Smoothie Cafe is the streetcar of cafes.
He came up to me and he asked me about my tattoos. And so we talked about my tattoos.
Dude, that's how people, that's a cult. Yeah. That's how people are roping you into MLMs. This is an MLM.
Yeah. So he asked me about my tattoos.
Dude, bro, they do that. They invite you over to his house.
Yeah. Look at the logo in the bottom corner.
Yeah.
The second he said it. He told me a guy offered him a couple of these and he said, oh my gosh, these are the best thing I've ever tasted in my life.
So if you're unfamiliar, Amway targets people with tattoos for some reason, because it's an easy way to start a conversation, but they will invite you over. You'll think you made a new friend. They're very personable. And then you'll go to their house and they'll have like a whiteboard in their freaking living room and everyone's in business casual attire and they'll just run you through the pitch. This happened to me, but it wasn't like at a house. It was a guy that I had known in high school.
Was it a Tropical Smoothie Cafe?
Close. It was a guy I knew in high school who we were living in Springfield.
Yeah.
And he was like driving from St. Louis to Oklahoma or whatever. He's like, hey, man, I'm passing through Springfield. Let's grab coffee and catch up. And I was like, oh, sure, man. I said, are you stopping in Springfield long? I mean, it's like a Tuesday night.
Yeah.
And he's like, nah, man, I'm just passing through tonight. And it's already like 8 p.m.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay.
Yeah.
I said, well, sure. He goes, yeah, man, isn't Mudhouse downtown open late? Let's stop there. Let's meet there at like 11.
Oh, no.
And I was like, 11? Okay. And, you know, we're living at that house. We were staying up till 1 in the morning anyway.
Yeah, that's college life.
So I was like, sure, man. So I met him there at 11 p.m. 11
that makes me want to throw up. That makes me literally want to make myself throw up. Like, if someone invites me to that, I walk in and I go, hey, how's your evening going?
Okay.
That's what I do in that scenario. Don't invite me to something at 11.
Especially at 11. At 11 p.m.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I go to Mudhouse.
Yeah.
And he starts talking about how his new job is great. And I was like, that's really cool, man.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, man, I'm just really hustling out here. And it's an Amway pitch.
Yeah.
At 11 p.m. on a Tuesday. From a guy I had not talked to in several years.
Did you buy in?
No, I threw up all over him. I did exactly what you wanted me to.
You learned well. But anyways, yeah, so this guy
comes up because I love your tattoos, immediately is like, oh, okay.
We talked for a minute. He had tattoos too.
I don't want the cola. I want the wild berry.
I was going to ask you which one you wanted. So we talked for a minute about tattoos. He had a couple twos telling me about what his meant or whatever. And he asked me what mine meant. And I said, no, yeah, are you looking at the B12?
Why is there that much B12 in here? That's
the B12 is 6,960%
bro. I mean, like B12. Celsius has a lot of B12. I thought this has almost 7 times the amount of B12, which is a nutrient that your body can't like really.
Yeah,
like it's not necessary for Celsius to have it in there.
Yeah, it doesn't make a lot of sense. Yeah,
yeah.
So after this, we'll go work out.
This is like freaking.
This is
like opening the vitamin C gummies and eating all of them.
The whole thing. We might see the Hat Man if we drink this.
How much caffeine
is it? No, but then so we talk a little bit about work and whatever. And then the conversation ends with the person from Tropical Smoothie Cafe.
Oh, it's only 114 milligrams of caffeine. So, I mean, it's not terrible.
Yeah.
But not terrible. I mean,
our conversation ends with the person who works there, Tony, walking up and handing him the food because he's a DoorDasher. and then so he's like, I'm going to take this delivery.
Bro,
and so
he's like, I'll see you around. Your pyramid scheme while you're DoorDashing. That's at the time I met Brian Regan.
Was Brian Regan DoorDashing?
Yeah. No, so I met Brian Regan at 54th Street.
Yeah.
I walk in.
That's crazy.
And he's at a table and I was like, Brian Regan.
Yeah.
And we're sitting there chatting. He's very nice.
Yeah.
And
is he alone? Because he's
with his manager.
Yeah.
And they had just done the comedy club. And I was like, I'm a comedian. You know, I was just a big fan of, you know, we're sitting there chatting or whatever.
Yeah.
And he goes, you know, how's comedy going? And I was like, well, I'm DoorDashing right now. So pretty good.
So great.
So Brian, if you see this, I don't DoorDash anymore. I used to be a DoorDasher who did stand up.
Yeah.
You know, and now I'm a stand up.
who does DoorDash.
It's a mindset. It's a mindset. All right?
It's all in the head.
I also sell drinks, and I have an Etsy store.
They're so good.
I also sell things on Etsy.
He said he's. But anyway, so he goes out, jumps in his car. I thought he's gone. I go back to watching my video and eating my chicken pesto.
And he comes back in.
And he comes back in with these cans.
Hey, man.
And he's like, hey, man. Hey, dude,
I decided my dasher could wait. The person whose food I have, they're going to get it cold because you are going to get these cold. All right? They're going to get some cold ones and you're going to get some cold ones. You're going
to
get some
cold ones. Yeah, he said, these ones are on me. I hope to see you around.
I don't like that it's called excess.
Yeah, and it's because of the excess B12 in there. he said,
if you're listening and you're like doing the Amway thing, I want you to know, I mean full offense. He might be the dumbest person I've ever met.
He told me, he said, you want to know the best part about these? And I was like, what? He's like, you can't get them on Amazon, can't get them at Walmart, you can only get them from me. And I was like, oh.
That is the best part
of these.
Because I don't know your name. And I have no way of contacting you. And I just got to order a lot of DoorDash in hopes that you're my dasher.
You're the dasher. Oh, thank God.
Bro, I have spent $7,000 on Hawaiian Bros. And I got hooked on hit me with that B12, bro. Oh,
I need that B12.
Are we going to try these?
let's try them. I hope it's awful. I can taste the B12. I literally taste the B12. Mm. I mean, it does taste like cherry cola, like just like cherry cola.
How many of these I got to sell to get a helicopter?
I think it says in the disclaimer on the side. He told me, he said he went straight to the top. He didn't talk to the guy who first gave it to him. He said, I went straight to the board. Six people up there. I talked to one of the guys on the board.
I mean, I guess that's the way you got to do it. If you're in a pyramid scheme, you realize it's a pyramid scheme. You got to jump up. And then all of a sudden, like the person who's trying to put you in their downstream, they're in your downstream. And you're like, yeah, thank you so much for doing that.
Yeah, thanks. Appreciate it.
Hey, you got to respect the hustle.
Yeah.
I don't, but you gotta, I guess.
Thanks you're supposed for the drinks,
to. You're supposed to respect the
you're
hustle.
You're supposed to respect the hustle.
I don't.
Yeah.
So here's to you. What was his name? That's right. Know that your marketing skills were awful. You're really bad at this.
Hey.
And you're gonna fail.
But this is pretty tasty. I will admit, I do. I'm not against it. I hope this hits. In the middle of this episode, Jared and I are gonna go into anaphylactic shock.
I've already had 2 Celsius today. I don't know how much more B12 I can take.
All right. Anyway, so let's talk about Marvin Heemeyer.
Let's put the Amway logo. Can we put here? Let's do a. Well, you know, we might as well. This podcast is brought to you by Amway. If you want these energy drinks, you're going to have to find that random DoorDasher in Lee Summit, Missouri. Blue Springs, Missouri. Maybe.
Just order as much as you can until he shows up.
He's out there.
Whenever they ring the doorbell, just be like, hey, do you do Amway?
And if you would like to flush some money down the toilet, you can go to amway.com, sign up, buy a lot of products, give them away for free while you're DoorDashing. And I'm sorry, I'm really trashing this thing. There's got to be somebody who listened to our podcast who does Amway.
Yeah.
That's fine.
I mean, it's not a bad drink. I'm kind of enjoying it. Zero sugar, lots of B vitamins.
Uncommongoods.com.
You can't get this there.
Can't get this there.
Okay, so Marvin Heemeyer, I'm trying to find a picture of this that I can show you. And you'll understand what I mean by that in a minute.
I know what you're trying to do. You're trying to get me to spit on this carpet.
I am.
It's just so good. I'm not gonna sacrifice that B12.
I've got to get all this B12 in me. So Marv and his friend, they had had their eyes.
Are you here to show me a picture?
Yeah, you want to see Marv?
Yeah.
This is Marv Heemeyer.
Okay. I understand why you were hesitant to show me that.
Yeah. You know what? He's got a really hot hairline.
That's some alpha male pattern baldness. That's some
alpha male pattern baldness. So him and his friend, they've been eyeing this property in Granby, Colorado. This here. This is a good parcel of land. They want that shop on the land right
okay.
there.
Okay.
They want to open up an... they weren't sure. They just wanted to invest in that. Maybe a muffler shop, maybe a welding shop, maybe okay. a car shop, maybe rent it out. They don't know.
Sure.
So they've been eyeing it. They approach the owner, and the owner's like, yeah, you can buy it for $110,000. And this is in 1991. And
okay.
Like, we think that's overpriced.
Yeah,
and
for so the shed.
Like, yeah, they're like, nah. and so they wait, and then they find out it goes into foreclosure auction. So 91, they go up to this foreclosure auction, and they said, top line, we want to spend on this $65,000. So if it passes that, we won't take it. If it's under that, we'll take it. So they go in. There's 150 properties in the Granby area that are in a part of this auction. And so it's going through property after property. Him and his friend are sitting there watching it all happen. This property comes up, and they're like, okay, this is our one. This is our bid.
They bid $40,000.
$1.
Sure.
No, yeah, the it goes up. First bid is $35,000. And so they and see then a someone guy goes, down in front.
$110,000. And it just looks around the room.
And they're like, that guy can't do that. That guy's the owner. He's not allowed to bid on this.
Allowed.
He's not allowed. Why? I want it.
Please give it to me.
Please, I want it. You didn't pay last time. Yeah, but if I buy it now.
I'm going to do it now.
If I buy now, I can reset. I reset.
They're like, you should pay that $110,000 on fixing your voice, you muppet. They really bullied the guy.
It's a loophole. The banks don't want you to know this secret.
The banks don't want you to know these three secrets. One. All right, go ahead.
One, buy your property back at the auction, and then they can't do anything about it. It's two. Yours. Two,
you can't get this property from anybody else. You can only get it from me.
And three, if you talk like this, they have to listen to what you say. They can't tell you to shut up. And if they do, they're breaking.
I couldn't do it. I was trying to tell you to shut up. I couldn't.
It's against the law. You can't do it. No, so the guy up front bids $35,000, and he's like, oh, we're gonna get this for under what we want.
Okay.
So he raises it to $40,000. And then the other guy down front stands up on his chair, really escalates the situation.
Sure.
Looks back at Marv and then says $45,000. And so Marv is like, all right, 50.
46.
No, he goes 50, which he should have said 46. He's jumping. They're jumping too high. They're jumping too much.
Yeah.
So they jump to 50, and then the guy looks at him, and he's like, sits down, and Marv gets the property for $50,000. The whole auction ends, and the guy up front walks up to him and just chews him out in front of everyone in this auction house. There's a guy by the name of Cody Dochev. And Cody, he owns a concrete plant in town. And I guess he just wanted to expand his operation to this place, but he didn't want to spend more than $45,000 apparently.
Yeah.
And so he chews out Marv, and they kind of get into it. And he's like, how dare you take that property out from under me? Like, I've been wanting that. I was talking to the owner about picking that up when it came to auction.
I've told everyone I wanted her. I wanted it.
I wanted it. I want the land.
Did you say her?
Yeah. I want the land. The land is
it
a
sounds
her.
Like it might be about something else. You know?
I think you're...
What else is Tommy mad about?
His name is Cody.
I know, but that's a callback to our show.
What? We have a show? What is this?
All right.
I don't remember anything. You're on this
cut B-12. Off from the B12.
I don't remember that bit. Cody.
Can we leave in the part of this episode where Alex wanted to bail?
Yeah.
I didn't want to bail. I was here the whole time.
It seemed like you wanted to bail.
No, I've been here for all 27 minutes. Hey, thanks for being part of this episode. If you want to help us do more of this, you want to help us grow our show, one of the easiest and best ways to do that is to join our Patreon. It's a way for you financially to support the show, and you get a lot in return. You get access to our Discord channel. You get bonus content that comes out. You get exclusive merchandise and like live Zoom hangouts where we're both just hanging out, eating pizza, just getting to know each other. The biggest thing is we want to know you more as an individual and as a friend. So thanks for supporting our show. If you don't support us financially, we're not pressed about it. We're not like mad, but I'll find you. So text Tillin to 66866 to keep yourself from being found. All right. Because if you don't, I will hunt you down.
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. This time of year is interesting because everybody's kind of coming out of their winter hibernation and wanting to go do stuff. And if you're anything like me, that's not great. Not because you don't like your family or you don't like your friends or anything like that, but because your social battery drains pretty easily and you need more time to recharge than a lot of other people in your life. Last summer, I was not great at this. I let myself do way too much and I got really, really drained and it was a rough experience all around. Luckily, I've got a therapist who does a great job helping me set my boundaries and keeping me accountable to my boundaries, especially in areas like this. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's completely online, it's flexible, it's convenient, and it fits literally any schedule. It's really easy to sign up. All you got to do is fill out a brief questionnaire, and you'll get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Tillin today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Tillin, TILLN. Thanks again to BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode.
So Cody and him kind of get into it, but it's like, whatever. The whole thing happens and Marv walks away being like, man, that guy sucks, but whatever. Like, we got the property. So they go to the property and they start kind of scheming, planning what they're going to do with it.
Yeah.
And they really...
Let's paint the building that just says, Cody sucks.
Cody sucks. But like a really good paint job. Like the best paint job in town.
Oh, good
paint this job. Isn't just like Cody sucks spray
Cody
paint.
Cody sucks. Let's get a graffiti artist.
This is like freaking this is a mural. NFL stadium.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
I want it to light up at night.
It lights up when you drive by. It's got motion sensors and turns.
Cody
on.
Sucks.
Cody sucks.
You put a little NFC tag on Cody's car, right? Yeah. So it only lights up when he drives by. No one else.
And it's so bright. And the entire town
dude,
can
he
see
thinks
the light.
He's crazy because he tells other people, he goes, go drive by. It'll turn on. Nothing.
Nothing.
When he drives by, it turns on.
Turns on every time.
Now you're in his head. You're really going to ruin his life because you've taken his land and potentially someone's taking his wife. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, we think.
It seems like
sure.
He's got some kind of issue
like
going
something
on.
Something else is happening here. So
what do they want to do with it?
So he pretty much immediately, the city contacts him and was like, hey, thanks for buying that property. Glad you got it.
Thank
pretty
you for
cool,
that.
Huh? By the way.
Can't have it.
They said, by the way, so the last owner, the previous owner was in a lot of trouble with us. And now you get to be in trouble. Because this is your property now. It's your problem now. And so what had happened was the previous owner, instead of hooking up to the sewer main from that building, he decided to put in a septic tank. But instead of installing a septic tank, he took a concrete mixer truck and took the mixer part and buried it underground and just ran a hose to it. And that was his septic tank. And they were like, that's not allowed. And now it's yours, and since it's on your property. So
you have to dig it up.
They're like, yeah, not only can you not use that anymore, but we need you to run a sewer line out to the sewer main. The problem with that is the sewer main...
How much does it cost to do that?
Well, typically, the sewer main's in the street, and so it costs a few thousand dollars to just dig it out and then run it to the street and hook it up to the sewer main. The problem is, with the way this property is laid out, the sewer main is not on the street in front of his. It's on the next block over. So they have to go underneath the street. They have to go from his property underneath the street and then underneath the other set of properties and into the sewer. So he got it quoted and it was going to be $18,000 to run this new sewer main. And they said, also, by the way, you need to talk your neighbors into letting you put an easement in, a maintenance easement in, because that's also
Required.
And you're the one who would be using it. So you have to...
No one... And they don't say that before you buy the property?
No. And they were like, so yeah, you need to...
This feels like my apartment complex. Not the one I live in now. The one I live in now is pretty great.
The old one.
When I say my apartment complex, you know who I'm freaking talking about.
It's them. So Marv is like, well, this is jacked up and I don't want to do that. And he's like,
can you just sell the property? He's like, he calls Cody. He's like, hey, Cody,
I got an idea.
Hey, 45,000.
So he says, He says, no, that's ridiculous. I got a septic tank. I've got a solution. I'm going to do that instead. You guys are stupid.
Okay.
Which is a really good course of action to take with the government. It works out really well for them. So he goes, he actually gets into a legal battle with the city over this, but he plans to continue using the septic tank. And so in the meantime, he's like, I can't operate a normal business out of it, but he's like, I can't go get this zoned as a boat rental property. And so he splits the unit into three units, puts a big garage door and a normal size door, and then he rents it out and pretty immediately gets three people to rent it out, put their boat in, and keep it over there through the winters and stuff like that. And he's like, that covered my mortgage payment on it or loan payment, whatever he got, probably a mortgage. And I was good. And while I argued with the city about what was going to happen with my septic line.
Okay.
And so this became a big issue. And he started to feel like the government was like a good old boys club, you know? Like the local government. The local government in this town. Because this town is not like a... This is not a...
Big town.
Yeah, this is a town of like... I don't know. Hold on. I'm pulling up the population. It doesn't even say here. Oh, wait. Oh, 2,000.
Oh, okay.
So
this is like Mount Vernon size.
Yeah. And it's like a little mountain
Smaller
town.
Smaller than Mount Vernon, but yeah.
Yeah, it's a little mountain town.
Mount Vernon's a mountain town. We're the Mountaineers.
I don't... name a mountain near Mount Vernon.
Mount Vernon. You idiot.
Yeah, it's not a mountain town. I'm going to be honest with you, man. You're wrong.
It's a suburb and it's a mountain town.
Don't get me started on the suburb thing. He starts getting...
Mine's
did
gone.
You finish this? Holy cow, I'm not even halfway through mine.
Crobert, can you make me glow? Thank you, Crobert. Thanks, Crob. All right, Crob Daddy, Crob Dust. Anyway,
did we call him Crobert in an episode? I was thinking that this morning. I don't know if he knows about that.
That's his name.
Yeah, you're right. Sorry. Of course, he knows his name.
All right.
Marv is now in this long going dispute with the city council.
Crob Schneider,
and he feels. He feels as though...
Odd bod crop. I'm crying right now. All right.
Okay. So he feels as though the city council is a group of people who are... they have a stranglehold on the town because they are just people who live there. Easy, Todd. because they've lived there their whole life. Like, yeah. there's this one family that owns a construction company, and the sons are now running the construction
company. Yeah, they just know everybody.
And the only reason they're still there is because their grandfather bought like half the land in the town and, you know, was there before anybody else. And there's still not a lot of people there, you know? It's that kind of a small town politics, you know? And he's getting very frustrated dealing with all of it. Finally ends up just saying, forget it, I'm opening up a muffler shop. Turns that property into a muffler shop. And as I'm using the septic tank, it's fine. It's not a big deal. You can deal with it. And so he does this from 92 until 2003, running...
11 years.
Yeah, running the muffler business out of there. He's a welder, develops a great reputation as a welder in town. Everyone's like, if you need something welded...
He's your guy.
This is the guy. He's the only guy in town. But he's also the best guy in town.
The other guy mysteriously died.
It's kind of crazy.
In a welding accident?
Yeah, in a welding accident. They say his body's never been found.
I will say, a serial killer with a welding mask, though, it's pretty scary.
So he opens up his welding company. He starts doing welds. He is an avid snowmobiler, and he builds like this crew of snowmobilers that goes out all the time and snowmobiles around town. Not around town, but around like the outskirts of town.
Around
the mountain. Around the actual mountain that was there, because it's a real mountain town.
No, I grew up in a mountain town. I know how it works.
So they're snowmobiling around. But this is like a snowmobile crew. Like sometimes it's like 5 or 6 people that go out. But sometimes it was upwards of 70.
Oh my gosh.
Go out and snowmobile together. And he would make these bumpers for everyone's snowmobiles. And so he would hook these bumpers on them, which they come with bumpers, but he hooked an extra bumper on them. So they were like reinforced. So that way they could run trees over.
Oh, jeez.
Not like big trees, but like trees.
I understand.
And just...
I wasn't thinking they were taken out. You know? I'm not dumb.
Take down that
oak. At least two of them die because they are dumb. Yeah. You know? They're like, I can hit trees with this.
I can hit trees with this thing. Yeah. I bet we can hit each other with this thing.
When I got my wife her Jeep and she was like, now I can run over parking curbs. And I said... Why is that the first thing you said?
No,
didn't even say thank you yet. You just said, oh my gosh, I can't wait to hit a lot of curbs. I can't
wait to run stuff over. And so he's getting more and more frustrated with the city.
Yeah. I'm getting frustrated with the city.
They're continually taking him into city council meetings and disagreeing, arguing with him over the septic thing. And finally in 2003, they slap him with a fine.
Okay.
For not setting up the tank. And the fine was $100 a week for the entire period he's been there. So it was a few grand.
Like $55,000.
Yeah.
So.
Of a fine. And so he wrote the fine and he like did this thing on the check where he put like to the establishment or something like that. Like something like
this guy really stuck it to them.
And then they shipped it back and they were like, this check's invalid. And they're like, you have to do it right. And he was like, oh, forget you guys. So he had to rewrite the check. So him and the town have a bad relationship. That's point number one. Point number two, he's opens up this muffler shop, is running this muffler shop, and in 99, Cody Dochev is like, it's time to expand my concrete batch department or whatever. And so he buys a parcel of land right next door to his muffler shop and is trying to get it zoned to be a concrete batch center. Marv thought that this was not okay for a couple of reasons. One, he hates Cody.
Hate him.
Two, he thought that the zoning didn't make sense because there's on the other side of the street, there's a bunch of hotels. And then on the other side behind him is a neighborhood. And so he said that if they're mixing and making concrete right there, there's going to be a bunch of pollution and noise right there. And he said, that's not right for zoning. You can't put it there. And so he started arguing with the city council, but him and the city council already have a terrible relationship.
They're like, this guy again.
Yeah. And so he starts going to all the public hearings about it, trying to shoot it down, and ends up delaying the...
I'm thinking about getting into public hearings.
Yeah?
Yeah, just going.
Just going?
I mean, like, what else am I doing?
I mean, do you think that's a good usage of your time, though?
Yeah, I mean, like, just to go observe and be involved in my local government.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It sounds like when people do that, it does sound like it actually, like, you know, is beneficial and things happen as a result. Like, I've heard a lot of people...
In the new neighborhood I live in, it's pretty great. I think it's going to be pretty good. Because it's Montrose up near, and so the Montrose Christmas parade ends with Santa in a helicopter. I'm not joking. He flies over and there's a car running the parade route with a spotlight.
Yeah.
That is just shining up on Santa hanging out of a helicopter.
That's going, pretty sick.
Ah! You know?
Is it a real person or is it like an animatronic?
I mean, it's a real person hanging out of a helicopter.
That's pretty cool.
And so that's the kind of neighborhood. I don't live in that neighborhood.
Yeah.
I mean, we do this for...
You live next to the neighborhood.
This is you're watching my job. You tell me where you think I live. But...
Interesting.
It's pretty cool. So I'm going to go to there.
So you're going to try to be Santa next year is what you're saying?
Yeah.
I'm going to try to get... I'm going to get some inroads and be like, hey, gaining let
weight
me be
so
Santa.
Much right now. I'm like, hey, that guy's getting old.
So he starts... arguing against them in the city council meetings.
Yeah.
And he actually does delay. Like, he brings up some pretty valid points about the noise and about the pollution.
Sure.
And so, like, it does delay things and it forces them to figure some stuff out with the new concrete plant before they can open it. But they do figure it all out. And then the city was like, yeah, now you can do this. And so he opens it up, he builds it. And while they were in construction, he calls, Cody calls Marv, and in an opportunity to kind of like let it all clear be water under the bridge. Yeah. He calls him and he said, hey, we're in the middle of construction right now. Yeah. And he's like, now's the best time. He's like, you guys want to run a sewer main through here? Like, we can add that on. You just cover the cost of labor. And he's like, and I'll actually...
And he goes, I knew you were on the side of the city.
He says, I'll actually go ahead and just throw the easement in and I'll cover that. And so like a really generous offer. And
okay.
Marv just hangs up on him. Doesn't even respond, just hangs up on him. And so that was a really generous offer, honestly.
Yeah.
Just hangs up on him.
He's like, all you got to do is take that Cody Sucks thing down.
Yeah. All you got to do is like, I'm not going to lie. It's blinding me every time I drive by.
Kind of sucks.
Yeah. My son has my car now. I gave it to him. He just turned 16.
Yeah.
And now every time he drives by, it's on his route to school. He just sees Cody Sucks. And you actually changed it. It says, your dad sucks.
That's pretty rude.
That's very rude of you.
And the D doesn't light up anymore.
Is it your dad or your ad?
Your ad sucks. And he's just like, okay. Well, yeah, weird marketing over here.
What do you mean by that?
I was thinking of Cody. Yeah. The D on the Cody didn't light up anymore. It just says Koi Sucks.
Koi Sucks. Your dad. Anyway.
Neither of the D's. Your A sucks. You're like, what?
What?
You're a sucks.
You're a sucks. So this whole thing, his relationship with Cody is getting more and more strained. His relationship with the city council is getting more and more strained. So this item two. Item three, there is a local paper. And when he opened up his muffler shop, the local paper, the photographer swung by the muffler shop and was like, hey, what do you say about like doing a free ad in the paper, like just to be like, hey, we got a new business in town. If you guys need any muffler repairs, this is your guy. And he's like, okay, that sounds great. Like, let's do
perfect.
That.
They ran it.
And then he's like, all right, I'll come back next week. We can take some photos. We can do an interview and we'll get you in there.
Sure.
He's like, cool. And so the guy comes back. Nobody's at the muffler shop. So then he's like, well, I'll come by tomorrow. Cause why tomorrow? No one's there. Tries again the next week. And then eventually just gives up. Marv, from his perspective, the guy said, hey, I'll put you in this thing. And then never came back. But really, Marv just was never working. Because there wasn't a lot of work to do at this muffler shop in a town of 2,000 people. There wasn't a lot of people who needed muffler repairs.
So he
wasn't around all the time. Yeah. Allegedly, he worked 2 to 3 days a week. The rest of his time, he was snowmobiling. Or he's a man after your own heart. He was in his hot tub. So Marv is really mad. At the city council, at the city paper, and at Cody Docheff, and a bunch of other people in town now too. He just feels like everybody's out to get him. And it's boiling, and it's boiling, and it's boiling.
And you can probably try to convince yourself that they all conspired together.
Yes. Yeah. And it seems like it because they are all friends. Like it's a small town. Everybody knows each other. Everybody has grown up together. He's the outsider. He came in from Boulder and bought this property. And so nobody there knows him. He knows everybody, and that's
sure.
Yeah, he feels on the outs, and he spends a lot of time alone in a hot tub thinking, which you know what that does.
Doesn't lead to any good places.
So he has this idea, and he says, "I'm going to intimidate Cody. Cody's got his Cody's got his little concrete plant right next door." So he says, "I'm going to intimidate."
Sure.
Cody, they're next door neighbors. And so he goes to California. He goes to California and at an auction, he buys this. And he ships it home and parks it in the driveway.
How much does it cost to ship that home? It's a bulldozer.
It's a bulldozer. And it's not like, this is not like a typical like front loader. This is a Beef Boy bulldozer.
A Beef Boy.
This is a Beef Boy bulldozer.
Okay. And
parks it out on the driveway.
And Cody's going to see it and go,
Cody's going to be like, oh my gosh, this guy means business.
This is not the guy to mess with.
That's a big bulldozer. So he sets it out there. A couple days later, puts a sign on it that says for sale, and it's like that for a year. And everyone's like, why did he buy that? Everyone in town's driving by and they're like, why does he have that? Like it's a muffler shop. What does he need a bulldozer that big for? Uh-huh. And so everyone's very confused about what's going on here.
But it's like, wait for a year.
Yeah, it's set there for a year. It says for sale, right?
Okay.
And so, year later, Well, I should say, after this sits there for a year, he moves it into the building. And it's like, is literally like inches of clearance fitting through the garage doors. And so he gets it through the garage doors and everyone's like, well, that bulldozer's gone. And that bulldozer, now a whole nother year passes of it being parked inside.
This is to intimidate Cody. So this is really getting him.
Well, it started out with it out there intimidating him. And then he moves it in.
He was out there intimidating him?
Yeah, he's like, Cody's like intimidating him.
Shivering in his snowmobile boots.
And so he decides, he says, I need to cut my losses. And so he sells the property, sells it for $400,000, which is a huge profit.
Yeah, he really cut his losses there.
Sells it for $400,000. The next day, the new owner puts in a sewer line and an easement. And cool. He requests, he says, hey, can I, for the next year, lease out just that unit that I have
a bulldozer in.
That I'm using.
That I have something
in. Yeah, he doesn't tell him
what he's doing. What do you got in there? Something?
He's like, I'm working on a project. He's like, could I just keep that? Lease that from you. And they're like, yeah, whatever, that's fine.
It's like fully, I mean, so to get into his bulldozer, he's got to like, you've been in a really tight parking spot and try to open your car door. Well, and you got to be like,
it's the unit. The unit isn't that small. The door is that small. The unit is not that small.
Cody, better watch out.
Is he intimidated? Hey, tell me, look at him. Is he intimidated? Can you see him? Does he look intimidated right now?
Do you see him right now?
Does he look intimidated?
How scared are you right now?
Cody. Cody, are you scared?
I'm coming for you, buddy.
You're going to knock the bookshelf over.
Here I come.
Oh, I'm coming for you. Hey, thanks for checking out this episode. If you like this one, we've got a lot of great past episodes that you can check out. One of my recent favorites is Frank Abagnale Jr. It's the dude from the movie Catch Me If You Can. And it's the story about how he scammed everybody into a really big scam. There's one scam that's like the scammiest of scams I've ever heard someone scam. So check that one out. It's a fun one. I like it a lot. But thanks for being here.
Are you intimidated?
No, the unit is not small. The door to the unit is small, but the unit is like got a lot of space.
Okay.
And he started working on this project in there with the bulldozer, but he didn't want anyone to know about it. And so when they got it inspected after they first moved in.
Was he putting like blades and stuff on it or something?
Well, he put a big old tarp over the bulldozer to cover it up. And the inspector came in and was like, what do you got there? He's like, oh, it's just a project they're working on. And they're like, okay. And they didn't ask to look under it or anything like that.
Is he building a giant battle bot?
So he, for the next year, spends a year, and he's a welder. And so he's...
Is he making a giant battle bot?
He's reinforcing this bulldozer into this.
What
he did is he...
Made it bulletproof?
Yeah, so he put...
He just made a homemade tank?
Yeah, yeah. So what he did is he reinforced the entire thing, welded on steel around the entire like body cab of this bulldozer. And then he actually took concrete, and there's 3 inches of concrete between that and another layer of steel. And he welded it all together. And he also, there are on every direction, there are these little portholes, and the portholes have 2-inch bulletproof glass on it. And behind there are cameras, and all those cameras feed into a control room he's got inside with screens.
How do you get inside?
There is a hatch, but I'll tell you the hatch is difficult to find. And inside, he's got a control panel with a bunch of screens. I'll show you these screens, actually. Here, this is a better view. I'm going to download these real quick. So he can see everything outside through those cameras. But the cameras have the bulletproof glass. He also installed air compressors.
This is insane.
With hoses that go out to the portholes. So if they get dirty, he can shoot air over them and clean them off with those air compressors. And so this is inside. So he's got, this is 2004. So those were cutting edge TV screens.
What?
So a bunch of TVs in there. So you can control it from inside.
Who's this guy?
I don't know who that is. I want to say it's a local police officer or something like that. I'm not sure. He also has on all four directions openings where he's got guns mounted. And the gun goes through, but there's no like air or anything like that. So it's not possible to be shot through. But he can have the gun sticking out and move it around outside. So it's completely sealed, but the gun sticks out.
There's air that can get in, though.
Well, he's got it like, so the gun goes through.
Yeah, but he can breathe, steel. Is what I'm saying.
Well, yeah, so he installed an air conditioning unit, and it goes through, he's got this whole piping system, so that way, like, you can't shoot through the air conditioning unit or anything like that, because it's not a one-way route, so it, like, moves through and moves around, so it's not possible for...
So he spent a year making a thing that he, in his mind, can just level the town? Is that his plan?
So on June 4th, 2004, at 2 o'clock in the afternoon...
Broad daylight, 2 p.m.
The tank busts through the walls of the shop because now it's not fitting through the door.
Oh, yeah.
Now it's too big.
I'm going to get it out there, though.
So it just busts through the wall of the shop, goes across the street to Cody's concrete batch plant, and just starts ramming the whole building and, like, nailing it, like lifting the bulldozer up and down and like destroying.
There's no video of this or anything?
Oh, there's lots of video of it.
Oh, I'd love to see some.
I've got photos. I can show you video maybe in the After the Fiddle that we've already filmed.
Great.
He's ramming it.
My cheeks
and
hurt.
Lifting. Excuse me.
I have pain in my cheeks.
What for? The B12, all that excess. My cheeks gotta hurt too. Now that you mentioned it, I can't open my mouth.
Kind of sore.
Mm-hmm. It's all the laughter.
I'm sure.
And he's wrecking this building.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, everybody who works there is like, "What is happening right now?" And so Cody,
it's pretty clear what's happening right now. There's a reinforced concrete bulldozer hitting your building. I don't know how that could be more clear.
Cody has a handgun, and Cody just starts shooting at this thing with no effect. Nothing's happening, obviously. Yeah. This is very reinforced. And so he goes and he gets his bulldozer, which is a significantly smaller bulldozer. It's a normal size
bulldozer. We're battle-botting this thing right now.
Someone
comes down one of those little caterpillar things. And like, hey, what are you? Come on, what are you doing?
What are you gonna do
with
that?
Put that away.
And so he goes and he rams the tank with the bulldozer, and it is so much heavier. Like, he tries to lift it with his bulldozer, it actually lifts his tank, and so the lift gets caught and starts lifting him backwards. And so he backs up and tries to ram it again, and no effect. He's just freaking wrecking his concrete shop right in front of him while he's trying to stop him with the bulldozer. And then his employees, they start trying to take metal rods and shove it in the treads to like
stop it,
break it. And it's just bending and snapping these metal rods. Like, this is a beefcake bulldozer, you know? Like, this is not, this ain't no backyard bulldozer. This is, this is a serious bulldozer. The police show up, and the police are like, I don't know what to do.
We gotta grab our bulldozer.
I don't know what we should do with this. The police start shooting at it, but it's not having any effect. And he is just like ignoring all the cops, and he's just nailing this building over and over again, backing up and lifting his bulldozer arm and crushing the heck out of it.
He's just leveling their building.
Yeah. After 45 minutes of him just repeatedly ramming this building, he turns around, and now there's a lot of cops here just unloading on this
tank.
Did he start
hitting all the police cars?
Well, he turns around and he just runs like full speed towards this barrier. A bunch of cops are hiding behind, and they all have to like dive out of the way, and he just destroys this barrier.
Grand Theft Auto, 5 stars, baby.
And so he then leaves the concrete shop, and he goes on this long rampage around town, going to all the people who've wronged him.
The newspaper guy's house?
Yeah. So he goes to, from here, he goes to the newspaper, like the actual office, levels the office, goes to town hall, levels town hall.
What?
Starts going to all the different people's homes of the people who were like in the town council, goes to the town grocery store, which is owned by the people, like one of the guys in the town council, and is literally just going from place to place to place, leveling different spots all around town. And so this is a map of everywhere he went. So there's the news station, There is Gamble's, which is the local grocery store. The town hall and the library was one of them. And then the concrete batch plant, which is
copycat Cody's. Graphics and printing.
Yeah. So anyone
who leveled the bank.
Yeah. Anyone who's wronged him in any way, he's going and he's leveling their building. So pretty quickly, the police start getting wind of what's going on here. They're like, oh, this is that guy. And they're like, we know everyone he hates. And so they start calling all these places and they're like, you guys need to leave. Like, you need to like,
yeah, leave. Is he hurting anybody?
So he's not hurting anybody. There's debate on whether he wants to hurt anyone or not. Because when he like shot at Cody, he shot in the bucket of his bulldozer.
Okay.
And so they're like, did he miss or was he trying to like warn him and be like, back off, I'm doing this.
I'm going to do it.
Yeah. And so it's
unclear. Are you intimidated now?
Are you intimidated now? He's like, yeah, I am intimidated. Could you please stop?
Please stop.
And so he goes from building to building to building. And it's just, everywhere he's going, he's getting debris covered in this thing. And that's why he put those air compressors so it could blow all the bricks and the dust away from his camera views so he can continue on his rampage. At one point in the rampage, a cop was like, I'm going to get up there, and ran up and climbed up on top of it and started trying to find the access door. Couldn't find the access door and ends up starting just shooting inside his air conditioning unit. But he had designed the air conditioning unit so that
yep.
wouldn't do anything. So then they toss him flashbangs, and he starts dropping flashbangs down in the air conditioning unit, no effect. And so nothing is working. They are literally by one point, it is literally a convoy of SWAT team and cops that are just walking along with this thing, shooting at it, jumping on it, throwing stuff in it, trying
this thing is huge.
Yeah, it's gigantic. This is not like a little bulldozer. This is 15 feet tall. This is a massive, massive bulldozer. And it's just wrecking the town, creating absolute havoc. At one point, they go and they get, they call them scrapers. They're those really long for like when they're putting down roads, and they're the really long tractors that have that kind of like diagonal scraper in the middle. And they're like, oh, we can stop it with that. And he just pushes it right out of the way and just keeps going. No problem whatsoever. He goes down to this Xcel Energy plant.
Yeah.
And that is a power station that also has a bunch of propane tanks, and he parks there, and for 10 minutes he's trying to shoot the propane tanks, but his design of his tank, he couldn't get the right angle on it, and so he kept missing. What's significant is that was the one part of this whole event that could have actually been really tragic, because the blast radius, these aren't like home propane tanks. These are massive propane tanks, and they think that would have leveled like entire blocks of the town if he actually got a shot off, because he was firing incendiary rounds into him.
Right.
So it would have been a major disaster, but he never got the shot off. Eventually, he ditched that, gave up on that, and went to Gamble's, which is where he ended the whole ordeal. At this point, allegedly, and there's some debate whether this is true or not, allegedly, the National Guard was scrambling, and they were sending Apache helicopters to
shoot him
like with rockets, because they're like, this is a tank. We need to deal with it like it's a tank. The police aren't going to be able to stop this thing.
Right.
And so somehow he started leaking coolant. And so it is leaking coolant, smoking really bad. He's going to Gamble's. He nails Gamble's, which is a grocery store. And I guess what he didn't know, what most of the locals didn't know, is Gamble's had a basement. And so he nails Gamble's and it slips into the basement, and he obviously gets stuck. He can't get out. And so he's stuck in there. And so the police now create like this perimeter, and they're
now he has to come out.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they're like, what's he going to do next? Like, did he rig it with explosives for a situation like this? Like, what's the next step? And he ends up taking his own life. They hear the shot, and then they spend 2 days trying to get into it. They finally get into it early in the morning, 2 days later.
Where was the hatch?
Well, once they got inside, they found that there was a hatch, but it was not like noticeable from the outside. They never found it from the outside. What they ended up actually doing is they burnt a hole in the side of it with a
welding torch. Yeah.
And that's how they got in. And that's how we got the pictures of the inside. And after the whole ordeal, they went through and they like obviously searched his home, and they found 2 hours worth of tapes of him chronicling this whole year-long thing of him building this tank. and why he was doing it and who he was targeting and why he was targeting them.
So he was doing a get ready with me as I build a war machine.
Pretty much.
Get ready with me as I build a war machine to take on my neighbors.
And so he...
To intimidate my neighbors.
Intimidate my neighbors. While it's pretty sad because if you listen to it, it's very clearly someone who had too much time on his hands and didn't have a lot of friends to talk through this with, or just chose not to talk through it with his friends and like drove himself insane.
Yeah. Because I'm sure they get progressively crazier.
Yeah. Yeah. And by the end, he's literally saying, I've been trying to get caught, but I'm not getting caught. And so that must mean that this is a sign from God that this is what I'm supposed to do.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He just gets progressively...
Yeah, he's like, I'm supposed to teach these people a lesson that they can't behave like this, that they can't treat people like this. They've backed me into a corner. What am I supposed to do now? And he's like, I'm confident that the reason why God never allowed me to be married and never allowed me to start a family was so that way I could fulfill my purpose, and this is my purpose. And so he did this. Nobody was injured in the whole event except for him. But a lot of property damage. A lot of property damage.
Yeah. What was the total damage?
I don't know what the... Here, let's see if I can check on that. Yeah. But he...
When I was single and couldn't find anybody to date me, I also thought, I was like, maybe God's got another purpose for me and I'm supposed to bulldoze this town.
Bulldoze this whole town. It's mountain towns,
Thank
man.
Thank God Reagan came along, you know?
The town, they obviously seized the thing. And they said, we don't want anyone to like take souvenirs or anything of it. So they disassembled it and dispersed it to a bunch of different scrap yards.
Okay.
Which is interesting to me. I don't know. I mean, I guess I see the motivation, but at the same time, like, it's a cool bulldozer.
You're the reason.
Save the bulldozer.
You're the reason.
You're exactly why they did that.
It's a cool bulldozer. So the damage of the whole thing was estimated to be around 7 million.
Yeah.
2 million of which was that concrete plant, which was underinsured. So they only got a payout of 700,000.
Oh.
So they just kind of stomached 1.3 million in loss off that.
Yeah.
So it was a major, major event. It was televised all over at least the state of Colorado and definitely the nation. He got his justice, I guess, kind of. That's the killdozer. They nicknamed it the killdozer, even though nobody was killed by it. But it does look pretty killer. I mean, this is it. It's a big dozer.
I mean, and you never know when someone's just going to do that, you know?
Yeah. I mean, he was 40 a year.
He was working
thing.
On it.
Like, that is a determination. Like, it's one thing to be like, oh man, I want to punch.
What is there anything
the
you spent a year on?
Like in general or like anything crazy?
No, just anything you've like, you're like, oh, I've worked on this for like a year.
I mean, yeah, like my career, this podcast.
Stupid.
My relationship.
I'm talking about like, you know, I mean, I've put so many years into RuneScape and like some model train sets.
Oh, I guess I have done that with City Skylines. I've built some cities for over
here.
Yeah. I don't know what else. Oh, there is that bulldozer that I built.
Oh.
Yeah, it's like armored, reinforced. Got some gun holes in it.
It just seems like some excess.
Shoot something. Excess energy. The best energy drink you'll ever taste. The best thing about it, you can only get it from that one DoorDasher.
You know what Jesus says? I am way. I am truth.
I am life. I didn't know Amway was a Christian company.
It is. Yeah.
Amway.
Give them 10% of your income.
Oh, yikes. Anyways, that's the story of Marvin Heemeyer, the killdozer.
Sorry we talked for 17 minutes before we got to the good story.
I think that story was pretty good. Hey, thanks for checking out this episode. If you liked it, you can subscribe or watch some more episodes or some clips. But then I need to make this like 20 seconds. My producer said it has to be longer, so I'm just going to keep talking for a little bit. And is this long enough, Connor? Okay, cool. Thanks for being here.